Nehemiah chapter 13. Remember them, O my God, verse 29, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleanse I them from all strangers or foreigners, and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. Let the works I've done speak for me. We've been looking at this account of Nehemiah and following again God's hand in his life and in his heart and his passion for the people of God and for the progress of God. I put both those things in mind that God used this, and it's always when people look for places in Scripture for ways in which to spotlight leadership and revival, this is one of the places that they land in as they look at this account, and also for rebuilding. Amen. Nehemiah, this book, this account, allows us to walk in the footsteps of someone who's been there. Thing about Scripture is the Scripture is a perpetual catalog of precepts that God has given us that we can use. As again, you hear me mention oftentimes in the New Testament, Paul talks about how the things of old time were written for our learning, that we through patience and hope of the patience and learning of the Scriptures might have hope. And so we praise God again for this account. And as we look at this particular place in this, not a story, but account of Nehemiah, we find we're in what we would deem is the last chapter in the book, but careful there because it's not the last chapter in the history of Israel. Amen. Nehemiah had been commissioned and he had been called and he had been sent, ironically enough, but in response to Nehemiah's request by King Artaxerxes, whom Nehemiah was the cupbearer. And even thinking now, saints, as we now, those of you who've been coming and been sitting under God's word with us, with me, and it seems like it was just, I don't know, months ago that we started off on this journey with Nehemiah. We started off seeing him on his job at work, doing what he does day by day, having punched the clock as the cupbearer for the king, one of the most powerful men on earth. And we saw there that that day was different from any other day because something occurred that spurred Nehemiah to change his life. Amen. And his life was radically changed by an encounter that God had set up by his providence because the Lord was ready to do something with the plight of his people. And let me just throw out again, you never know when you will bump into God. Amen. While you're praying for everybody else to do something, he might come and visit you. And it can be in the most obscure places in time, but not always in church, that you can hear from the Lord. God will walk up in you in the mall. Ain't that right? The Holy Ghost, amen, is the Spirit of the living God. And God, again, he has a way of coming at us when we are, again, not expecting him. You can be seeing him in prayer. You can be committing yourself to God in prayer, but his response, when he comes again to visit you with his answer, it will be sometimes the most, not only the most inconvenient, but even the most inopportune time. You say to God, Lord, I had plans. And God will come back and say, so have I. And so Nehemiah, however, we see how he was willing to bend his heart towards what God had in mind and in store for him, not knowing everything. And again, that's something to keep in mind. We have the privilege, we have opportunity to have looking back reflectively on this book of Nehemiah. We see what happened. But Nehemiah did not know that. He did not know everything. And that's what happens too. We want to understand that when, even when you say yes to God, does not mean that everything is going to peel out of your way and you're going to have a smooth road to wherever the destiny is. That's not guaranteed. Amen. And some folks get discouraged and even disillusioned because they believe again that when you start to serve the Lord, that all your problems will be over. I would dare to say that just some of your problems will begin, and some of them would be the ones you didn't have when you were unsaved.
Yes, sir.
But nonetheless, saints, we see Nehemiah as he works through this. And so that I might kind of get to where we were going here this morning, and as we look at here this account of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, if the writer is true, and I believe it's so, pins these words again. He says, remember them, oh my God, because they had defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. And we pause for effect. Then he says, remember me, oh my God, for good. If you look at Nehemiah's life as, again, when ministry began, and again, there's a dissection there, as you hear me use that expression, when ministry began, it wasn't just, I believe Nehemiah was a godly man. I believe he read whatever parts and of the scriptures he had, and even the oral history that he had received. But nonetheless, again, it's something, however, did when his life was ratcheted up, meaning that it's one thing to have a devoutness, meaning that you go to those places where you go to church, and amen, and you attend those things and attend to those things that speak of what you believe. But it's quite another when you begin to live them out in real time. And Nehemiah, again, went from this job in which, again, he still had his heart. I believe he thought about, and sometimes, oftentimes, he thought about from whence he came and how things might be. But the scripture doesn't give us to know that he took steps to go back there. And that's not any kind of indictment on Nehemiah. It's just that he held his place where he was at. And it's all right. But then, again, it's different, however, when Nehemiah was sent on a mission. I didn't just use the term missionary. I mean, he was sent on a mission, meaning that when God, notice the word co-mission, amen. Sometimes there's a lot of omission in mission. See, co-mission means you do what you're supposed to do. Omission is when you don't do what you should do. And sometimes, again, you use that in a clarative way. When you say the mission, we mean, again, doing what God has put on your heart to accomplish in terms of his will for your life and the life of others. Amen. Amen. That's right. You don't wait till it takes to leave the shores of the United States to serve God. God wants to see you be faithful over a few things. And then he'll make you not ruler, but a worker in many. Amen? I know you like that ruler part, but you ain't going to get there yet. Amen. Nonetheless, Nehemiah, saints, we watch his life again. You will see he was encountered by a lot of difficulty, both from without and from within. Discouragement came from without. Those who were, again, really disappointed. Not disappointed ain't even a word. They were horrified that somebody will come to try to do some good for these Jews. Listen to me again. This is the mind of people who will have affluence sometimes. What happens is they become so content in their welfare of complacency because of their affluence and because they have everything they need that they get upset when those who are downtrodden seem like they're about to be lifted up. There's something perverted about that. When, amen, you are doing well and good, and that's all right, and you even might be stingy. But don't get mad at me when I start to, amen, come up from out of the dirt and the dunghill. Amen. Are you with me here? And so they got on their mind, the people, and then sometimes the people themselves, because the work was so tedious at times, that they had to step aside and step back. And we said, we hasten to say, in one of those messages at their time, you need and have to do that. Amen. You'll find that you could become, that's right, all of us. All of us need to step aside. Now, if you ain't doing nothing, that's something else. Amen. But there's a time when you have to do that for your own sake and the sake of others. That's right. You don't just not take a vacation. You need to take some time aside for reflection. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can be doing a whole lot of things and still miss God's will. Amen. Amen. It's not what you do for God. It's what God is asking you to do for him. Amen. So Nehemiah, however, doing this, he was continually at the work, at the job. And one thing I found out about Nehemiah too was, until I read some more through the scriptures, you look at this guy and what he was doing in the beginning, you know, as a cupbearer for the king, you thought he was soft. Amen. I don't mean that way you think I'm talking. I mean, you're nice, you know, nice fellow, well, you know, going along with everything and, you know, just, but listen here, when you look at the book of Nehemiah, when he started getting involved with people, because people will bring something out of you. And I ain't just talking about the folks on the outside either. Amen. But Nehemiah, when he starts seeing things were not as they should be, you know, he wasn't too a scandal. He'd get up on you.
That's right.
He'd get with you.
Yes,
he'll use the expression, we're going to leave. He said, I'm going to lay hands on you. And he wasn't talking about an ordination service. You read it for yourself. Sometimes he grabbed somebody. One time he was pulling out somebody's beard. One time, use the word, he smoked somebody. One time, some folks was at the wall of the Jerusalem walls. They told them not to bring your stuff here on the Sabbath day.
Yes,
hey, are y'all with me here? Don't bring your stuff here on the Sabbath, because the Sabbath, the Sabbath is sanctified, it's sacred, and Jerusalem is shut down when it comes to that. But some folks still want to bring their wares, amen, want to bring their goods. And Nehemiah said, wait a minute, okay, I told you. He said, listen here. Now, if you come back again, I'm going to come out there. And it's going to be a problem. Y'all read it if you get a chance. He wasn't playing. Now, I'm not recommending you put your hands on nobody. You can't do that. I'm not even recommending. I'm just telling you, when you look at scripture, when you see Nehemiah, see, it wasn't just frustration, but again, sometimes he would get frustrated. And he would let them know that this don't ride. This is not happening. You know, and sometimes after he already told them, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. And he wasn't just talking about those heathen who were selling stuff outside. He was talking to some of the folks in the wall.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so Nehemiah, he was there. He was given a 12-year sabbatical from his job. He was given a 12-year sabbatical to go to Jerusalem. Y'all follow me here? And he went there and he began to, and listen to me now too, not only they would do rebuilding, but the rebuilding was a part of a call for revival.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all following me here? Revival is for God's people. And let me just do a New Testament thing and come back. If you're saved, you've already been regenerated.
Yes, sir.
That means you've already been made a new creature. You've been made alive on the inside.
Yes,
so we, the Christians, are the one who should be revived. You can't get saved again, but we all of us need to be revived, and more than once.
Amen.
And you can look on your calendar and look at the calendar and say, wait a minute, revival is in November. You can't wait. It don't work like that. Because we know for a fact that some of us, you can come to revival and come to the three nights, and the fourth night you're still doing the same thing you was doing before. The heart has not changed. There was no conviction. There was no repenting. So all it was time on the calendar for us to get to church, go to church, and say, I was there. But revival is when God starts to bring an upsurge in his people to be about their Father's business. But also this, that with revival, brothers and sisters, also comes reform. That's right, you got things got to change.
Yes, sir.
Come on, let me just start. There's a whole bunch of books that are written about change when it comes to God's people, when it comes to church and all that. Whole bunch. But one of the main problems is this: people don't want to change.
Yes,
it is more comfortable to stay like I am and watch stuff die.
than to change and trust God for a new day.
Nehemiah came, and what happened is he had to what? He had to confront and engage some folk. And I'm talking from the inside. Things had fell off. The Levites, the priests, again, all those folks, and that was because all of them were, we used to turn carnal, it's a New Testament term, but had they had slid back or got complacent. Now what happens is when things ain't happening, you get complacent. But let me say this to you again. If things are complacent and things ain't happening, you make them happen. Sit around and talk about tis, tis, and like that. No, get involved. Come apart. Watch God do something. Don't be a bandwagon Christian. Don't wait till the finals is over to say what team you was for.